We're going to be looking at a number of texts this evening. The first one is going to be in John chapter 1. But rather than read that, I'll go right to prayer and ask God to bless us as we open his word together. And so, Father, we ask that you would indeed have your own way as the word of God, which does not return void, goes forth through an earthen vessel to the ears of other earthen vessels. Father, that you might receive the glory as all the vessels reflect it back to you. Father, we ask that your Spirit would come now and fill us, guide us into understanding, and cause us to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Savior. Amen. Amen. When we think of praise in connection with our Christian faith, we've been praising God tonight. That's what we think of, don't we? We think of man giving praise to God in worship. And in fact, as we know from the scriptures, that is exactly why we ourselves, as well as all things, exist. This is something to ever bear in mind, that the very reason we have being, the very reason the entire universe has being, is that the greatness of God be glorified. Amen. It's our reason for being. And in fact, just let me make immediate application. As we think of that phrase that Christians are so wont to say, praise the Lord, you know, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, think about this. Are you really praising the Lord if that's all you say, praise the Lord? When you praise the Lord, you want to have something to praise him about. What if Jeanette came in and she had a wonderful, new, beautiful hairdo, as she does right now, and I just said, oh, praise Jeanette, praise Jeanette. Well, but if I say, oh, honey, I really like your new hair and it's lovely, well, then I'm putting some content in the praise. So similarly, when we praise the Lord, if we just say those words, there's not a whole lot there. You want to, well, why are you praising him? God is good. God is faithful. God is mighty. God is holy. God is just. So look how God has done this in my life. That's giving him praise with your mouth. But this evening, what I want to do is look at three places in Scripture where absolute perfect praise is going on, and yet it's not the Lord being praised. Now, how's that for something mysterious? I chose the book of Job, the first chapter, because we see another example of what I'm going to talk about this evening there, where God says about this man, he says, have you considered my servant Job? And this is God praising a man. He says, God, speaking now, says, there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. That's God giving praise to man. That's God talking about Job. And so I want to take three other places in Scripture where we see God giving praise to man and apply it to ourselves by way of considering how we can be the type of men and women that God would say something similar to us, that God would praise us in the same way. The first one involves Nathanael. Nathanael is the disciple brought to Jesus by his fellow disciple Philip. And in John 1, verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Now consider with me who it is that's saying that about Nathanael. An Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit, or your translation may say, in whom is no guile. He's not a tricky guy. He's not deceitful. He's truthful. Who's saying that about this man? The one who's saying it is the one who also said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The very one, the Lord Jesus, who is the truth, praises Nathanael as truthful. He didn't just say, "Oh, praise Nathanael." He put content into his praise. He praises Nathanael for being without guile, without deceit. He's a truthful man. Do you want to please God and earn his praise for yourself? Do you want God to be able to look at you, to point you out to others, just like he did Job and Nathanael, and say, "Look at my servant, add your name in the blank"? First, be truthful with yourself. Our capacity for self-deception is great. James 1, verse 22, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Deceiving yourselves. When Jesus said of Nathanael, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile," I think it means he was not deceitful with himself either. He didn't put on airs. He didn't act like something he wasn't and try to persuade himself that he wasn't something that he was not. Second, be truthful with others. How many times in the Word does God tell us to speak truth with one another? Knowing that there's a similar strong temptation to deceive other people as well as to deceive ourselves. An example might be learning to say, "I don't know," when you're asked a question and you don't know the answer, instead of trying to appear as somebody that knows it all. Be honest about your limitations and seek help. Say to somebody, "I don't know, but I'll find out and get back to you." So the one who is the truth praises this man, Nathanael, because he was an honest man. He was without deceit, without guile. Our second passage involves John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer, or John the Baptist. In John, Gospel of John, chapter 5, beginning at verse 33, we find the Lord Jesus having words of praise for him as well. It's in the context of Jesus speaking to those who are persecuting him. And those people have sent to John to ask him about this Jesus who was also baptizing and preaching. So Jesus says to them in verse 33, "You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved." And now listen to what Jesus says about John. "He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light." John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, bore witness to him who is the truth. And Jesus said of John that he was a bright and shining lamp. And just as I ask you to think, who was it that said to Nathanael, that praised Nathanael for his truthfulness, who is it that's praising John for being a bright, shining light? It's the one who said, I am the light of the world. Do you see how these things add an incredible dimension of meaning and power to the praise that God is giving these men? The one who is the truth itself says, this guy's truthful. The one who is the light of the world says, this man is a bright, burning, shining light. And so I ask you again, do you want to please God and earn His praise for yourself? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. That they may see what? That they may see you and all that you do and give you the attention and, oh, look at him, look at her. No, let them see the work so that they glorify your Father who is in heaven. And let me make yet another little kind of side application here. Sometimes good works get a bad rap among believers, don't they? Some Christians seem to want to so emphasize the truth that we're not saved by works, and we're not. We're not saved by works. It is the gift of God. It is by faith. Justification is by faith. But we, I won't say you or somebody else, I'll say we all can get so caught up in that truth that we don't do any works at all. Well, God didn't say, don't do works. In fact, in the same place in Ephesians, where it says we're not saved by works, it talks about how God has prepared good works for us to walk in them. So do the works, not to be justified before God, but burn brightly with the spirit of evangelism and witness. Be radiant in all duty, glorifying your Father in heaven as you abound in the work of the Lord. Now I'll direct your attention to another light, another small light, who was a disciple of the light. And he's a man called Antipas. Antipas. Revelation chapter 2 is where we find this man. Revelation chapter 2. Christ Jesus, the risen, glorified Lord, is communicating to the seven churches. Beginning of the book, it says that he sent and signified these things by his angel to his servant John, and had John write to the seven churches and to the church of Pergamos. Revelation 2, verse 12, Jesus says this: these things says he who has the sharp, two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. Kind of like Job, isn't he? It was Satan that came in. And God determined that he was going to use Job to show Satan how wrong he was. Well, here where Satan dwelled, this man Antipas was Jesus' faithful witness. And once again, who is it that's saying Antipas was faithful? It's the one who spoke of himself this way when he got to the last church, Laodicea. He calls himself there the Amen, the faithful and true witness. When John himself greets the seven churches in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1, he says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness." So the one who is the truth praised Nathanael as truthful. The one who is the light praised John as being a light. The one who is perfectly faithful, the faithful and true witness, says about this man that he was faithful. And so I ask you, are we to be faithful only as long as we're not discouraged? No. Are we to be faithful as long as there are no hindrances or obstacles to our ministries? No. Are we to be faithful, but only so long as we don't have to face death, as Antipas did? No. We are to be faithful, period. I want you to think about something about this man, Antipas. It's completely unknown to us, anything about this man. This line in Revelation chapter 2, where his name is mentioned, is the sum total of what we know about him. There's nothing else in the entire Bible about this man. But I say that Christ's praise of his faithfulness unto death makes this man one of the most eminent of God's saints. How are we looking at him? Are we looking at him with eyes that determine what's great in terms of what the world says? I want to look at a man like that as Jesus did, who praised him. Right now, as we sit here, this Antipas is alive. He's alive in glory, and he now has inconceivable honor in the realms of glory. And because his name is recorded in the infallible Word of God, his name has been mentioned in the reading, teaching, and exposition of the Word for 2,000 years. And so a man who was completely obscure and unknown in his time, because he was faithful, not only has the glorious inheritance, but even on earth, his name is known to millions, if not billions, of his fellow creatures. God's rewards are great. And this is high praise indeed, to be called faithful by the one who is the faithful and true witness. Each of us have a post, have a position in God's kingdom to which we've been called, and we might well feel the discouragement of being a feeling obscure, a feeling that God's left us on the shelf, that God isn't using us, that our lives could be more. But to those who patiently continue in doing good and who seek for glory and honor and immortality, whatever the personal cost, Christ has promised the everlasting possession of all those things, glory, honor, and immortality. Our brother Antipas paid the ultimate price for his faithfulness, but Jesus Christ is worth it. Do you have a burning desire in your heart to receive that kind of praise from God? I don't know about you, but more than anything else, I would want Jesus to say, my servant Keith, to say, he was a light. To say, look at that guy. He's not deceitful. And to say, here's a man who's faithful. That's real. That's solid. That's reward. To be praised by God, the one that for whom we exist to praise. Here we see in the scripture, he himself praises his servants. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2 reads, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Brothers and sisters, let nothing deter us from faithfulness, from zealously seeking to please the Lord that we may be praised by him. Do you want to be an object of Jesus' own praise? To please God and hear him say at the end that great, great expression of praise that our hearts long to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. If that's what you want, be without scheming and flattering and smooth talking like Nathanael was. Be a burning, shining lamp like John the Baptist. And though it be unto great pain, unto great cost, or even unto death, be faithful like Antipas, Jesus' faithful witness. Amen. Let's pray. And so, Father, we who praise you rejoice in the hope of being praised by you. What a wonderful, amazing thing that our hearts can almost not conceive. Father, make us to walk worthy of your praise. Seal your word to our hearts. And bless us as we go forth from this place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our concluding hymn,